Well, good evening. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you back now for Scripture Memory for Families, lesson number 4. And judging by people that I'm actually seeing here in the room, we haven't had a total abandonment or surrender or giving up. That's positive. And I hope that with each passing Sunday, we will build on that encouragement and build on that reinforcement that, in fact, Scripture Memory is not only possible, but it's commanded. And it is a blessing for us to do individually, as husbands and wives, as parents and children, just simply as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the privilege and blessing, the opportunity to encourage one another in this way. I'm going to start us with a word of prayer, and then we'll review our past verses. We'll look ahead to our upcoming verses and follow the pattern that we've kind of fallen into for the first 3 weeks. So let's pray together. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the truth of your word. And we thank you, Father, for the simplicity of hiding your word in our heart. Father, of reading it, speaking it, listening to it, dwelling on it, memorizing it. Father, what a privilege and blessing that it is. And I thank you, Father, that there's no spiritual gift necessary to memorize Scripture. Father, that you don't have to read the original Greek or Hebrew or exegete a passage or diagram a sentence. But Father, simply to look to your word and to look to you and to hide it in our heart, Father, what a joy. And I thank you that the youngest of children here tonight can join with us in their priesthood as we function together and under the priesthood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for Jesus, the author and high priest of our confession. We commit to you all things tonight for his glory, for your good pleasure. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All righty. Well, we have, hopefully, a stack full of cards. You bring your cards with you? These cards spent 6 hours outdoors with me yesterday at the swim meet. So they've been sat upon, they've been sweat upon, they've been, they may be in pretty poor shape here shortly, but that's all right. If they disintegrate, I'll just write new ones. It's helpful to write them out. It helps your memory when it's your own handwriting and it's your own. You're reading it, you're seeing it, you're pronouncing it out loud, you're hearing it with your own ear, and we appreciate that. So we have six keys for the Christian way of life, and we've simply called six keys. All right, and we've covered all six so far. Tonight we're going to move on and gain new ground beyond the six keys, but first we want to review those six keys. Okay, so now we're not going to talk verses yet. Let's just talk keys. Key number one is that you are loved by somebody. Who are you loved by in key number one? Who? Jesus. Loved by Jesus. All right, that's key number one, which we learned in week one. Key one, loved by Jesus. We also learned key two, we are loved by the Father. Did you know that? Okay. I'm going to start now. Let's raise hands and I'll start calling on folks, which is probably going to be from this side of the room. But it can be from over here. Don't feel like you don't have to raise your hand. All right. So we're loved by Jesus. We're loved by the Father. That's outstanding. Key number three. Key number three. Okay. Zoe. Through the Holy Spirit. Excellent. And key number four. Allison. No greater love. Outstanding. All right, so those are the ones that are now 2 weeks old, 3 weeks old. We've memorized those probably over and over and over again. Those are the ones we're most familiar with. All right. Now, the ones we learned last Sunday, maybe the ones we're not as familiar with. All right. Key number five. We're loved by Jesus. We're loved by the Father. We're loved through the Holy Spirit. There's no greater love. What's key number five? Yes, Lily. God is love. God is love. Excellent. God is love. We'll talk about that verse here in a moment. God is love. And then key number six. I already called on you. Anybody else before I do a repeat? You're going to let them do all the work, aren't you? Linty, what's key number six? No separation from love. That's right. No separation from love. All right. So we've got our keys, six keys to the Christian way of life. Now, there's verses assigned to each of those keys. And right now, all I want to talk about are the verse addresses. I don't want to talk about the verses yet, just the verse addresses. So if we're loved by Jesus, where's the verse that talks about loved by Jesus? Allison. John 15:9, loved by Jesus. Okay. And if we're loved by the Father, that's good. That's good. If we're loved by the Father, where's the address for that verse? It's going to be the Allison and Zoe night. Okay. Anyone not named Allison or not named Zoe? All right, yes, sir. John 3:16, loved by the Father. Excellent. Okay, loved through the Spirit. Loved through the Spirit. Love through the Spirit. Irma. Romans 5:5. Outstanding. All right. And then no greater love. No greater love. Somebody hasn't raised their hand yet. No greater love. Sid. 1 John 4:16. For no greater love. All right. We'll try again. John 15:13. Okay, good. You got on the second shot. All right. Now, the ones for this last week, these are the tougher ones. Okay, what was key five again? I can't remember. Key five? God is love. That's right. Okay. And then someone that didn't hear what Sid just said a moment ago, where is the verse for God is love? Yes, Catherine. 1 John 4:16. Awesome. Okay. And so key five, God is love. Key number six, what was that again? I can't remember. Key six? No separation. Okay, that sounds like a Romans 8 kind of thing, right? Where's the verse for that? Jacob. Just the address for right now. I'll call on you for that. And that's not the one anyway. Close. Okay, somebody else. For no separation. Zoe? Romans 8:39. That's right. No separation. Okay, cool. So we have the keys. We have the Bible passages. Now we're going to do is learn the verses, right? The easy part. Actually, it is the easy part because neither the keys nor the addresses are God-breathed and inspired. The keys were written by this guy in Scripture Memory Made Easy, okay? And the addresses were written by, anybody know? Who versified our, chapterified and versified our Bibles for us? It was a medieval Roman monk named Desiderius Exiguus. All right. No extra credit for that. All right. So we have our keys. We have our verses. And we'll start with the easy ones. We'll start with the easy ones. Loved by Jesus. And we already determined where loved by Jesus is. Okay. So, Jade, what's the verse for loved by Jesus? That's outstanding. That's right. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Excellent. And we are loved by the Father. We already determined that's John 3:16. Who can quote John 3:16? See, these are the easy ones. I don't want to call on you guys. We need you guys for the toughies. Okay? So let's get John 3:16 by somebody that might be their only verse. Anyone have John 3:16 for me? All right, and then I'll call on these again. Doug, what's John 3:16? But have eternal life. There you go. Bob, you still have that one in Russian? What's that one in Russian? There you go. You ever had one of those little Gideon New Testaments? You know what I'm talking about? The little pocket Gideon New Testaments? And in the back, do you know what's in the back of those Gideon New Testaments? You have John 3:16 in like 20 different languages, right? And years ago, when Sandra Hatley was a 8-year-old little girl, 7-year-old little girl, we were riding home from church one Sunday and looking at this Gideon New Testament, and she was amazed, absolutely stunned, that I knew all those languages. You know, because I was opening her Bible and we're looking at this French verse, and I said, "See, yeah, you know what that means?" And I was translating it for her. And then we flipped to the Chinese text. I said, "Oh, you know how to translate that? You know what that means?" And I got through about the third or the fourth one when she finally caught on that it was John 3:16 every single time, you know. So I wasn't really, you know, fluent in 20 different languages, and she finally caught on to that. But it's one of my favorite John 3:16 memories from back in my Sunday school teaching days. So, okay. We're loved by Jesus. We're loved by the Father. We're loved through the Spirit. And we already determined that that was from where? It was from Romans 5:5. Something about hope not disappointing. Does hope disappoint? Okay, who wants to recite that one? We'll save you guys for the toughies, okay? So let's, Linty, do you want to do John, Romans 5:5?
And hope does not disappoint because the love of God abides in us. Because the love of God has been spread abroad in our hearts.
Through?
Through God.
The Holy Spirit who was given to us. Perfect. Word perfect. Isn't that great? Just a little help. That's awesome. See, that's me. You notice I'm not reciting any of these. All right. So that's love through the Spirit. And no greater love. No greater love. This is the one I really butchered last week. Said. There you go. That one lay down his life for his friends. Awesome. Okay, now the new ones, the tough ones, the ones we probably are going to have to go to our cleanup hitters over here. The ones we just got last Sunday. Okay? So, key number 5, once again, is God is love. And the verse for God is love is 1 John 4:16. And who can recite 1 John 4:16? Lily, can you recite that? That's a long one. God abides in him. Okay, excellent. Allison, do you have that one too? Can you recite that for us? God abides in him. Excellent. Okay, Jay, do you have that one too? Go ahead. Recite that for us, please. Excellent. That's outstanding. 3. This whole room, 3. Anybody else? Irma. Okay, NIV, go ahead. And God in him. Excellent. Who else did this verse? 1 John 4:16. Sid? I'm just making sure I didn't have this. I did not have this up here, right? Okay. That's cheating, right? If you're reading off the screen. All right. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Come to know and have believed. You understand that's a past completed action? You understand that's a reality? No one's going to talk you out of that. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. There's such assurance in this. The reality of our walk is so powerful. Appreciate that. Of course, the Holman is the one that uses remain. NIV has lives. And you did the King James, right? You're the old King James type, Gina? Okay. So you got dwelleth. Dwelleth. I like that, dwelleth. I was asking Sharon the other day, I said, we need to start going back to the these and the thous and the add the eths to our verbs and things like that. I'm going to driveth home, you know, hither, theretofore. Okay, now there's no separation from love. Let me get that off the screen. In fact, if I just do that, then it's going to be, there we go. Oh, those are the new verses. I don't want to show you that either. All right, then let's just scroll up. All right. Key number 6, no separation from love. No separation from love. Now, we recognize that verse 39 starts with a nor, okay? Because it kind of, the sentence actually begins in verse 38. So we were giving you the opportunity for those who wanted to go ahead and do 38 and 39 and just put it all together into a contiguous thing. Who has that verse down? Rock solid. 39 or 38 or 39, either way. Think you do? Okay. Anybody else think they do? The train that could? Luke, okay. All right. That's good. Well, go ahead and give it a shot then.
I would say that the extra rock, we should know that verse. That's the way. So it's extreme pressure.
Right. No, no pressure. It's all grace. Do you want the microphone? Okay.
I can't remember the first word.
Did you do both verses, For I'm Convinced? Our Lord. Awesome. That's your Sunday school memory version from Baraka. Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah, neither life nor death, nor things, angels nor principalities, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Awesome. Who else did those verses this week? Catherine. That's fine. Starts with an or. Okay. Excellent. What translation is that? NIV? Okay. Oops, that's next week's. Nor anything else in all creation. That's right. Okay. Super. Who else? Allison. Go ahead, do both. Our Lord. That's right. Is He really our Lord? All of our Lord? He's Allison's Lord? He's Lillian's Lord? He's my Lord? All of our Lord. Isn't that awesome? We're all in one family, aren't we? We have one Lord. That's right. That's powerful. I appreciate it. So what can separate us? Can we lose our salvation? So if you're saved tonight, can you stop being saved tomorrow? Well, what happens if you decide to start hating God? Are you still saved? Yeah, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. That's right. So nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Are you a created thing? Are you a thing present? Then you can't separate yourself. That's right. You're held firmly in His right hand. This is a wonderful passage. So if you ever know anybody, this is something Robert Jewell deals with in prison all the time. He's found that you know, several of the believers he encounters in prison are terrified they're going to lose their salvation because of their crimes or because of what they've done or whatever. And he's had a very fruitful ministry teaching the doctrine of eternal security. And he's taught it probably 50 times in the last 9 years that he's been in prison. So we want to remember that in our prayers. All right. Well, we're going to thank you tonight. We appreciate all that scripture memory. Have I not called on somebody and you just want to stand up and cite a verse? Jacob, I know I haven't really called on you. Do you want to cite a verse? Do you have one ready to recite? All right. Am I hurting anybody's feelings by not asking you to stand and say, no, Pastor, you're not hurting my feelings. I'm okay. All right. Well, we're going to do two more verses here in a moment. But we're leaving the six keys. We're going to move on to our next segment for the next six. And so our first 3 weeks have six verses. Our second 3 weeks will have six more verses. And when we finish these 6 weeks, we'll have a total of 12 verses, six that are called keys of the Christian walk and six verses that relate to our salvation, the plan of salvation, which is the heading, God's plan of salvation. And so we'll tackle that here in a moment. And we'll tackle that here in a moment. Okay, I do want to read from chapter 4, and you need to memorize Scripture. Chapter 3, we didn't quite get through the whole thing, but it was probably the longest of all the chapters in this book. That's all right. We'll pick it up here with chapter 4 called Interest. Interest. That's not money the bank's giving you for your savings deposit. It actually has to do with your volition that actually wants to do this. Memorizing depends upon interest. You hear or read something significant and you say to yourself, that really interests me. I like it. I want to remember it. You at once proceed to write it down, keep it before you, and think upon it. Becoming vitally interested in the Word of God usually comes as a result of contact with that special person whom God brings into your life. You see what it is doing for him or her. You are impressed and you want to have the Word in your mind. You noticed how it was he, or she could be, addicted to God's Word. You talked with him and somehow you began to think like he does. You see, real interest in the Word of God is a contagion. It is caught more than it is taught. Well, that's kind of interesting. For me, it was my parents, and they had a hunger for the Word of God, and I caught it from them. Now, you are interested in, or are you interested in memorizing Scripture? Have you caught the enthusiasm? You surely must be interested in memorizing Scripture. You would not be reading this book. Memorizing Scripture begins with a keen interest in wanting to remember it because you believe it will be of real value to you in meeting the needs of your life. Memorizing is generally not a question of ability. Now, I know I've testified to this in the past that my memory is horrible or I don't have the ability to memorize, and that's a myth, all right, as we've discussed in previous chapters. It is not an aspect of ability, but of interest and desire. Like all spiritual functions, if He's commanded us, then He provides the ability. He's commanded us to hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. And so he provides the ability. If you're truly interested and desire to do it, then you have already stepped on the starter and the engine of your brain is already running. Motive in memorizing is basic. Intention predisposes the memory for retention. Motive is that which induces you to act. You are interested and you seize upon a particular portion of Scripture and purpose to spend time and mental resources in assimilating it. And let me tell you right now, the opposite is also true. If memorizing Scripture is not important to you, then you will not set aside that time. You will find other things to do. It just won't be a priority. And at the end of the week or Sunday, when Sunday comes around again and the opportunity to recite comes up, you're not prepared. You're not ready because you haven't cared to take the time. Your persistence in memorizing will depend almost entirely upon the extent of your interest. Keep that particular Scripture that interests you constantly before you and begin repeating it. Say it out loud and engage your hearing apparatus in functioning for you. As you dwell on the thought and truth of God's Word, enjoy it and allow it to lift your soul and spirit heavenward. So start running through the hypotheticals. Pretend you're a pastor. Pretend that your pastor gets sick next Wednesday and you have to give the message, and that message has to come from 1 John 4:16. All right, so now you start thinking. Now all of a sudden, wait a minute, what does this really say? We have come to know and have believed, okay, the love of God. What's this about? God is love. How would I teach that? How would I explain that? How would I fellowship in that with a fellow believer? How would I describe that to an unbeliever? How would my life be different if that verse wasn't true? Okay. How thankful am I that God is love? Okay. And just start thinking in terms of the Scripture. Interact with the Scripture. And let it speak to you. Pray about that Scripture. Just take it phrase by phrase by phrase. We have come to know and have believed. So thank you, Father, for teaching me this. Thank you for the faith that I trust in this Word. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you are love. And just go phrase by phrase by phrase and pray through it. You have that opportunity. Anyway, let me finish this chapter here. David was not only interested in the Word, he delighted in it. As he said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. The author of this text assumes that David's the author of Psalm 119. That's all right. I will enjoy them, relish them, and feast upon them. And then he said, I will not forget thy word. Because I find such delight in thy word, I purpose to memorize it. I want to remember it. I will not forget it. I will lay it up in my mind where I can meditate on it day and night and receive the blessing and the strength that God purposed for me to have. The psalmist regarded God's word as being more value to him than gold. Money can never buy the value and satisfaction derived from it. It is sweeter than honey, Psalm 19:10, and the lingering taste of it makes us long for more of it. David's vital interest in the word of the Lord is further expressed throughout that word-filled psalm, Psalm 119. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul doth keep them. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Put it down, friend, and always remember that memorizing Scripture depends on your interest. Delighting in that Scripture will sustain your interest and keep you going. Eat the good, the prophet Isaiah said, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. That's Isaiah 55:2. Let your inner man have a spiritual feast. So I'm about halfway through. I do want to read the rest of this. There's good stuff in here. The Bible is a wonderful book, but as General Gordon used to say, you know who General Gordon is? Was? No? Anyone? Khartoum? Anybody? Okay. Yeah. Charlton Heston, if you saw the movie. Okay. As General Gordon used to say, after all, the chief proof that the Bible is good food is the eating of it. Exactly so. Chemical investigation into the ingredients of a loaf of bread has its needful place, no doubt, but the analyst's household would surely starve if they hesitate to feed upon it until the analysis has been completed to its entire satisfaction. Reading and studying God's Word gets the person into the Word, but memorizing it gets the Word into the person. Did you hear that? I'll say it again. Reading and studying God's Word gets the person into the Word, but memorizing it gets the Word into the person. And there it becomes a major force in molding the spiritual life and conforming it to the will of God. Do not waste any time fretting about the notion that you may not remember it. Keep at it. Do not idle away your time anymore. Sloth, indolence, and idleness will no more bless the mind with spiritual riches than it will fill the hand with grain, the field with corn, and the purse with treasure. In pursuing the memorization of Scripture, we must diligently resist the influences of the world around us. The ear must be turned away from the sounds of earthly pleasures, the din of worldliness, the voice of human speculation, and must listen attentively to communications from the spiritual and eternal. Oh, that we might truly hunger for the blessed Word of God and constantly be renewed in our minds so that we will not allow the world's philosophies to squeeze us into their mold. And of course, you understand what he's referencing here is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, right? There is real danger, wrote Fred Schuppe, I think, Virginia, some years ago, of being shaped or conformed to the world by all the forces and pressures at work, such as the radio, television, current magazines, newspapers, what the stream of society thinks, and the like. Now, keep in mind, when this was written, before the internet, all right, before Al Gore bestowed upon us Facebook and all the things where next thing you know, you just spent 8 hours watching hidden camera comedy videos on YouTube. Okay? I'm just talking to myself now. By the way, it's called Just for Laughs, and if you ever want to just waste a couple hours, watch Just for Laughs hidden camera pranks, and they're kind of funny. All right. And most of them are all right for kids. But radio, television, magazines, newspapers, what the stream of society thinks and the like. You know, why is it? If you could walk down the street, grab four passersby and ask them about American Idol, and you'll get some current answers based on whatever happened in the last week or so, right? But scripture memory, okay, that's one way to end the conversation as far as that goes. All right, there's about six more paragraphs on this, but I'll go ahead and stop with that. I got my General Gordon quote. I got, let me just get this one last item here. As you enjoy memorizing the Scriptures, there will soon awaken in you a strong desire to see others around you, at home, at work, at school, and at your church, taking hold of the Word and laying it up in their hearts. This morning, with the author here was July 8, 1991, I read a letter from a Mrs. A.B. Creasy, Jr. in West Texas, where she says, "I am interested in involving our whole church in Scripture memory, as my husband and myself were personally involved in your program several years ago. Send me whatever materials I need in order to enroll people of all ages." And, of course, what did he do? He sent her everything she wanted immediately. All right. Mrs. Creasy and her husband face a big task. People in our churches do not appear interested. It seems that it is at least six times more difficult today to arouse people, even in an evangelical Bible church, to memorize Scripture than it was 30 years ago. They prefer to sit in the pew and listen effortlessly to the able preacher. They may look spiritual and appear wise, but have nothing of the Word of God in their minds and have no special interest in undertaking the disciplining effort of memorizing it. But we will not give up. We will pray for them. We will pursue them. We will talk to their children. We will persist with it. And although we may not succeed in getting the whole church involved, we will surely succeed by the grace of God to stir up that needed interest in the lives of some. God commands us to memorize His Word, and we cannot live without it. Spirit of the living God, evermore create that interest and hunger for the Word in the lives of Thy people. All right, so that's the end of chapter 4 in Woychuk's text. All right, you ready for your new verses? You're not ready to walk away and give up? You're not in despair? All right, we have six more verses. The next 3 weeks are all going to come from God's plan of salvation. And I think I mentioned a couple weeks back that I'm changing the final verse. You won't have to worry for that for a couple weeks, because this plan uses the Revelation 3:20, "I stand at the door and knock," as a salvation verse, and I don't teach that verse as a salvation verse. So I will replace that one when we get to week six. But for week four, verses 1 and 2, we have Isaiah 53:6 and Romans 3:23. Isaiah 53:6 and Romans 3:23. So, when you write out your cards for the next 6 weeks, the theme is God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation. What's really cool about this is that when you have these memorized, then you're a walking evangelist just ready to unload and save people on the streets, right? You're going to have verses on hand talking about the plan of salvation if, in fact, an unbeliever does ask a reason for the hope that is within you. Okay? So God's plan of salvation. The numbers, if you've forgotten what the numbers mean, 141. Okay? The first digit simply means we're in our first year of Scripture memory. That's not going to change until we go a complete year doing this and move on into year two. All right? Trumpet pending. I don't plan on being here that long. The second number refers to the week. Week four. Okay? Week four. And then the third digit is either going to be a one or a two, and it's going to apply to either the first verse or the second verse that you have to learn each week. So God's plan of salvation, 141, is the first verse of week four. And your memory device for this, all are lost. All are lost. That's why we have a universal gospel, because we have a universal need. Mankind is condemned by grace, non-meritoriously lost. And we can be thankful for that. So all are lost. Slightly different from all have sinned, which is our second verse for the week. God's plan of salvation, week 4, verse 2, the memory device is all have sinned. And that should immediately put you in mind of Romans 3:23. But Isaiah 53:6 is our first verse that testifies to the reality that all are lost. And in case you think that you're not lost, you can just, or that you weren't lost before you got saved, then Isaiah 53 will remind you of that. Let me come back to here. All right, so God's plan of salvation, all are lost. Isaiah 53:6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. All right. And this is powerful, because this talks about the universal astray. All of us have gone astray. And this is one I like using with Calvinists. Or limited atonement people, not always Calvinists, but limited atonement people. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. You've got an all in the first half of the verse and the last half of the verse. And if you're going to limit the iniquity of us all to only the elect, well then, what are you going to do with all of us like sheep have gone astray? Why are you switching streams in the middle of that horse? Okay, or why are you switching horses in the middle of that stream? Either way. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Probably the Holman is the one that's the most different in all those texts that I'm looking at.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I think I'll memorize it.
The Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all?
Yeah, it's just a little bit more
serious. Mm-hmm. Okay, so stick with the NASB then, or stick whichever one you want to go with. There's always the, what did you call it earlier, Sharon? The Sharon acceptable paraphrase? Okay, yeah, that's it. Okay. But you're... All of us like sheep. So who does this exclude? This is the human race, right? Is everybody? Okay, does everybody need a Savior? Is there anyone, though, that doesn't need a Savior because they can kind of save themselves, or they're not really all that bad? They're mostly good. People will tell you that. And people who tell you that they're mostly good, show them this verse. No, you're a sheep that's gone astray. We all are. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. That whole chapter, Isaiah 53, is the gospel from the Old Testament. It's powerful. Then your second verse for the week is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's a short enough one for you, quick enough one for you. Maybe you already know it. Count this one as a freebie, right? Like when you're on the Jenny Craig program and they give you a freebie every so often just to encourage you to keep going. All right. Then this one's your freebie. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's King James. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, NIV. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They're almost word for word in every single text. King James, the lone exception to that, with come short rather than fall short of the glory of God. Okay. Any questions on that? Do you remember the schedule? Do you remember? And you don't have to follow the schedule. Find what works for your family. Okay. And if you have a bad week, make up for it next week. Okay. But what they're recommending with these verses is, let's see, how do I review? Plan for each week. Here we go. They recommend, and this is just a way to divvy it up on each day. And that's the real important thing. If you don't follow the exact schedule, cool, but just do a little bit every day. Don't ignore it till Saturday and cram before Sunday, okay? Or don't ignore it all week and then cram Sunday afternoon, all right? Why are people smiling? Just do a little bit each day, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, even if it's nothing more than just pulling your cards out and reading them. Just pulling your cards out and reading them. That has value. But they recommend on Monday to learn the first verse for the week. Just focus on that one verse. Read that one verse over and over and over and over again. Read it over again. Listen to it. On Tuesday is when you want to review everything. You want to review everything from 1 to where you are. Everything from week 1 to week 4. Everything we've done. On Wednesday, you learn the second verse for the week. And just that one verse over and over and over again. On Thursday, you review the 2 for this week. On Friday, it's back to everything again, every card in your deck. And on Saturday, just this week's 2 verses. All right? And it tells you on Sunday you have the day off, which of course is not true because on Sunday you're coming here. And on Sunday you're reciting with your church family and you're fellowshipping and so forth. There are no days off because there are no days off in the angelic conflict. All right? I'm convinced of that. So, but if you don't follow that exact schedule, then just do something that, as long as it's a little bit every single day, don't let 2 days, 3 days, 4 days go by without thinking about your verses, without pulling out your cards, without looking at it, thinking about it, talking to your wife about it, talking to your kids about it. All right. Maybe even, find a coworker to do this with you or something that reinforces what you're doing. Okay. How to picture your verses. I read that for you last week already. Preach the words. Imagine you're in the pulpit of the biggest church in the world. And you're about to tell that packed church about those wonderful words from Scripture. So you announce your text. And then what are you going to say about it? You know, think about it. Make sure it's real. You're not just memorizing things that aren't real. Okay. Memory aids. Each theme has been given a memory aid. Are you finding those helpful? Love by Jesus, love by the Father, love through the Spirit. I mean, it's jogging your memory. It's just walking you through it, thinking, oh yeah, okay. And it's going to be the same way. It's going to be the same thing with God's plan of salvation. When we finish those, moving on to the next 6 verses is going to be Jesus' 6 I Am's from the Gospel of John. The Holy Spirit at work, Bible promises, Jesus and His cross. How can I be sure that I am a Christian? I think that's an important section. 6 verses from that section. How can I grow as a Christian? Witnessing for Jesus. Words of comfort. And then to complete the year in the 11th and 12th sections, Psalm 23, which is only 6 verses long, and 1 Corinthians 13. The whole chapter there in 1 Corinthians 13. So if we indeed take this beyond 6 weeks and actually go an entire year with Scripture memory on Sunday nights, then that gives you an idea of where we're going. And then, the very end of the book, it says, all right, what do we do next year? All right, and there's a plan for next year and the year after that and the year after that. So some neat things there. All right, any questions? You ready for ice cream? Anybody bring any ice cream? Are we sticking around? Question. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? I could probably give it now. I'm almost complete. I mean, I'm 99% sure I want it to be Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. Because it doesn't appear elsewhere in the entire calendar year. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Okay? And although I've 95% made up my mind on that, okay, I made up my mind on that. That's going to be our sixth verse in 2 more weeks. I still have not written a memory line for that one, you know, because I can't use the memory line from Romans 3:20. I've got to write one of my own. So when I do that, I'll let you know. And maybe next Sunday night I'll have that written out. And we can do that. But I want to substitute Acts 4:12 there for the one we're not going to do in Revelation chapter 3. Yeah, come in, Lord Jesus. I'm going to have to replace that, come in, Lord Jesus. And so I'll come up with a memory device that helps us remember that there is salvation in no other name. There is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. So, yeah, I'll have that written by next Sunday. Deal? Deal. All right, close in prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. And Father, I understand holiday weekend and folks are busy tonight, but I do pray that everyone will listen to this MP3 file, that they folks will stay current on the 2 verses for this week, that we can encourage each of these families, each of these husbands and fathers in leading their homes, each of these children to stick with it. I thank you for their example, Father. We've had good examples tonight and real encouragements tonight from each of these young people here in the verses they recited. I thank you for their hard work. I thank you for blessing their hard work, Father, and the ability they have to encourage us. Father, we commit to you tonight. I also want to pray for our fellowship time. Ask for your blessing upon the ice cream and whatever else that we consume. Father, that the partaking of the food would be a nourishment and a blessing, and that our time of fellowship, Father, would be an encouragement as well. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All righty. Unless you absolutely have to go, rearranging your sock drawer or something else vitally important like that, we encourage you to stick around. We're going to fellowship together. We'll encourage one another in this time of struggle.